So, as I said last week, Senator McNasty gave a major foreign policy speech in Los Angeles in which he laid out a diplomatic strategy that sounded quite distinct from President Bush's approach.
When we believe international action is necessary, whether military, economic, or diplomatic, we will try to persuade our friends that we are right. But we, in return, must be willing to be persuaded by them.
So call it the McCain Doctrine, should he be lucky enough to win the White House and thus the right to name doctrine after himself. But what would McCain's foreign policy look like? Pepperdine University public policy fellow Joe LeConte looked at this question in a piece for the Weekly Standard this week, and he joins us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Miss Sally. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Oh, you can call me Faith. That was very fancy
right,
of you, though. Or McNasty. I don't know if that's your pleasure.
Right.
So let's start with the clip we just played, Joe. There, McCain seems to be drawing a contrast with that other doctrine we know so well, the Bush Doctrine, which gets criticized for being too cowboy, you know, to go it alone.
Yeah.
What's McCain trying to say here?
Well, there is definitely this outreach to our European allies, our democratic European allies. McCain seems to be very sensitive to the fact that America's image abroad has been badly damaged in all kinds of ways. And if we're going to wage not only an ongoing kind of military conflicts in Afghanistan, Iraq, use American hard power, you got to use American soft power as well. And you've got to bring in your democratic allies in all those ways. So this is a good signal he's sending to our European friends, because if he doesn't define himself now in the campaign, the European media elite, I guarantee you, they will define him for him.
So, but he's not only saying, hey, let's work together, let's work and persuade our international friends. He's also saying we should be open to persuasion. Now, Joe, that can't play too well with the, you know, the Rush Limbaugh USA or the highway crowd, can it?
Yes, as some of us have noticed, it sends people like Rush Limbaugh, you know, into apoplexy, you know, selling out America's superpower status, and that's just overwrought rhetoric. Now, think about how McCain has put this, the context he's put it in. He started out that speech and his article in Foreign Affairs magazine by saying, look, the most important geopolitical threat is the threat of radical Islam. That's certainly consistent with the Bush administration and also with the 9/11 commission report. But then he says, look, we've got to establish a new kind of association, what he calls a League of Democracies.
Right.
Working in tandem to advance democratic ideals around the globe, but particularly in key strategic places. And I think there's a real emphasis with McCain on the use of soft power, on diplomacy, on maybe more carrots and fewer sticks. And that's probably a good thing right now as this campaign moves into high gear.
Joe, didn't we put together a league once before, that League of Nations thing? Maybe McCain should choose a different name that's cooler, Posse of Democracies or something.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, Woodrow Wilson's League of Democracy did not end well, did it? And then the U.S. Senate didn't even ratify the thing, so we weren't even a part of it. So it ended because it crashed on the realities of geopolitics. And some of those realities, of course, that McCain would face with his own League of Democracies, Association of Democracies, one of those realities is that democratic states, democratic leaders, they look first to their own short-term national interests rather than trying to advance universal democratic ideals. I mean, that's just a reality on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
No democracy has the foreign policy of Mother Teresa. We certainly don't, and no other democratic state does. So it's a concept that needs to be tested. And, you know, Iraq right now has not been a good test case for a League of Democracies.
Oh, it hasn't.
Hopefully there'll be another one. Go ahead.
I dare say it may not be a great test case for McCain. I mean, it could be the millstone tied around his neck because he's been an avid supporter from the get-go, and the Iraq project has alienated much of the rest of the world. So how can he build this international consensus if he's tying his victory to Iraq?
Yeah, well, I guess there are two things there, I'd say, with Iraq and Afghanistan. I think if Iraq, and we can't know this, but by the end of the year, if Iraq looks better then than it does now, that's certainly going to help McCain in terms of stabilizing more political reconciliation, the number of deaths, killings, et cetera. If that continues to decline, that looks good for McCain, obviously. That looks like the surge strategy having its effect. Afghanistan, of course, is the other key question. And I think that's probably what's prompting some of this talk from McCain. You know, we've got America and Britain doing the heavy lifting in Afghanistan, our other NATO allies, many of them not even willing to go into harm's way. And we're not out of the woods in Afghanistan, right? And so we can't afford to lose Afghanistan or Iraq. And McCain realizes we can't win either of those situations without the help of our Democratic allies.
But how do you think he can build consensus when he's got Iraq written all over him, if you will?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you're going to have to see a real corner turned beyond what we've seen even in the surge in the last year. Nothing succeeds like success. Remember back a few years ago, we had this talk about the Arab Spring back in 2003, just prior to and just after the Iraq invasion, when it looked like the Bush doctrine, Afghanistan, routing of the Taliban and al-Qaeda, it looked like it was on the ascendancy, elections and even in Saudi Arabia. All positive signs in the Middle East. And so you had this incredible kind of goodwill. It didn't last very long, did it? Mm-hmm. The Arab Spring. And even hard left voices saying Bush may be right here in his democracy doctrine. So McCain, as commander in chief, if he wins the election, I'm fully persuaded he's going to continue to commit the troops necessary as long as he believes there is a strong strategic chance of really turning the situation around for the long term.
Well, he seems to be committed to something in the long term. I mean, he famously said that we could be in Iraq for 50 years or maybe even 100. And Senators Obama and Clinton, on the other hand, are advocating a speedy withdrawal. So would you say the McCain doctrine is an antithesis of an Obama or a Clinton doctrine?
I think it is the antithesis, yeah. I think, to be fair to McCain on the 100-year thing, you know, what he said was, as long as Americans are not being injured or harmed or wounded or killed, mm-hmm. that's fine with me. You know, that kind of occupation that we've had in South Korea, Germany, and elsewhere. So to put him in context. But it is the antithesis, you're right. Hopefully, it will be a realistic appraisal of what America's military can do, but also the limitations of hard power to bring about peace and stability over the long term, but the willingness to use American hard power when our strategic interests are really threatened.
You keep using the word realist, and John McCain, in his speech, he called himself a realistic idealist, which sounds like something you put on a Match.com profile to me. What does that mean?
I think it means that you understand both the capacities and the limitations of America's military and economic power. And I think that's why he's emphasizing this association or this League of Democracies. And he said repeatedly, we can't do this thing alone. We shouldn't try. We will exhaust ourselves as a superpower. That's realism, right? But it's also realism to realize that we have enemies who are utterly devoted to our destruction, and they don't sleep. So realism about the threats, realism about America's limitations. That's an important kind of impulse right now, it seems to me, more than an impulse, a guiding kind of set of principles for a president.
Joe, what do you make of the fact that Senator McCain did not mention Bush a single time in his speech last week?
Well, I don't like to do kind of pop psychology from over here, but you know,
you're
is
in California.
Walking
it. Come on.
Actually, I'm based in Washington. I live bi-coastal. It's a great arrangement. But California, that's right. He is walking a tightrope. There's no question about it, because Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton would like to do nothing more than to paint him as yet another Bush term. You know, he mentions Harry Truman, Democratic president, John Kennedy, Democratic president. That was kind of a clever thing to do, to invoke their foreign policy, their kind of aggressive a foreign policy as kind of the mantle that he's picking up. What that means beyond that, certainly there is the need to at some level distance yourself from the worst excesses of the Bush administration. That's just a fact. There's no question about that. And McCain has been pretty open about that. Right? He's been one of the fiercest critics, of course, of the Bush administration, right?
Well, let's talk about a concrete problem. If there were a President McCain, how would he address the crisis in Darfur, do you think?
Well, good question. What he said in his foreign affairs article, you know, of course, acknowledging you've got this bloodletting going on, and the way he talked about it was that his administration would review all of the military options available to the United States to bring that killing to an end. I suspect that a McCain administration would be willing to do what the UN has already authorized democratic nations to do, which is to enforce the no-fly zones and protect those civilians in those camps. And it wouldn't take a lot of firepower You wouldn't even need troops on the ground necessarily for that. You just need some helicopter gunships to do that. But we've been unwilling to do that for various reasons. The Security Council, China, has been blocking any kind of move like that. I would see McCain with his League of Democracy saying, look, he said explicitly in his speech, when the United Nations fails to act, this League of Democracies would kick in. And there is a precedent for this, obviously, Bosnia, Kosovo, for action of democratic states, NATO and others, when the UN fails to act to prevent genocide. I think McCain doctrine applied to Darfur would probably be right at the outset. Get those no-fly zones up and running and protect those civilians.
Finally, Joe, last night at Letterman was making cracks about McCain on his show. Let's listen.
He looks like the guy who's always got wiry hair growing out of new places.
And then McCain came on stage and showed that he knows how to return fire with fire.
You think that stuff's pretty funny, don't you?
Yeah, well...
Well, you look like a guy caught smuggling reptiles in his pants.
So, Joe, there's a new wrinkle to the McCain doctrine. What do you make of it?
Well, he's got that military background, so, you know, there's stuff that's going to come out of his mouth between now and Election Day that are going to surprise all of us, Faith, I think.
Joe, <Pretty good. laughs> thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great being with you.
Joseph LeConte is a senior fellow at Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.